going on from Sri Lanka. I think New Zealand's real test this summer is going to come in the white ball games against India. We've got 5 ODIs and 3 T20s. Whew, I do like how good we are, New Zealand are, in our home conditions. And I do like how good we are at white ball cricket. But I think India, this Indian team are definitely something special, especially in the limited overs format.
It's going to be interesting, that Indian one. It's going to be a real challenge. Still a little disappointed there's not one test in there.
Yeah, I mean, that it would have been nice to play a test game against India, but I think this Indian they're going to be... Yeah.
That real show of just how good we can be at home, if we can foot it with the Indian team, which is almost, pretty much is the best test.
Yeah, they're the standard to judge yourself against.
Yeah.
In the one-day format and the test format.
Yeah. So, I mean, we get a good chance of testing in the one-day format. So, and against Pakistan in the T20s as well. So, and they're pretty much the best T20 team at the moment.
Pakistan, I believe, are number one still.
Yeah. I mean, I think
Pakistan beat us in the T20 series when they came over here. So that shows how good they are.
They can just chase any total down.
Yeah. And they have the bowling lineup too.
Yeah, all the bowling.
They have to bat second, defend total.
Well, that's a specialty, right? Bowlers get out there and really restrict the runs, and the batters just like have the best game plan to get whatever runs the bowlers restrict them to. Like,
yeah, I mean,
no matter what the conditions are, what's happening,
turns around all the tropes of Test cricket in a lot of ways.
And yeah,
T20s, you definitely want to bat second. I think there's a ridiculous stat, like winning the toss and batting second gives you almost a 90% win rate in T20s since 2011.
Yeah, something crazy like that. I mean, Pakistan way, first chase it down. Yeah. Be the best way of doing that. You get the best chance of winning.
Pretty much. Following on from that, New Zealand get to play Bangladesh, who have also had a mixed season. Like, they had a drawn home series against Zimbabwe, where they lost a test match to Zimbabwe, which also Zimbabwe won the toss and batted first and ended up winning. Yeah. So, reoccurring theme in test matches.
Good way to do that.
Then Bangladesh won the second test. Following on, they managed to beat the West Indies in a test series, and the West Indies are currently beating, won the first one there. And we'll see how good they are at white ball cricket over the tournament, because West Indies are probably one of those gold standard white ball teams at the moment when it's to Bangladesh. They get to play 3 tests and 3 one-dayers. So, and no T20s for them.
No, I thought we might have got one against them as well. But it seems to be a little bit of a funny mix for each 3 teams that are coming. Like, Sri Lanka's got, we got the 2 tests, 1 T20, and was it 4 one-dayers? 5 one-dayers? I forget. So that seems a good balance. But then India's all one-dayers and T20s. And then Bangladesh is the mandatory one-dayers because it's the World Cup. And then 3 whole tests. It's like not even a T20 in there. Seems a weird balance as we go through. Like, the Sri Lanka one seems a good balance of the games for the... Yeah, I can see why the Indian one wouldn't be as... you wouldn't get 2 tests out of them. You'd add a few extra T20s, but thought maybe a test. And then you thought Bangladesh, maybe a couple of T20s in there because it's coming up to the World Cup. And so whilst T20s isn't full 50 overs, at least it's ball cricket and getting closer. But doing 3 tests at the end of it seems a bit strange.
There doesn't seem to be a correlation between how good you are at T20s and how good you are at one-dayers. The only exception seem to be the West Indies and New Zealand, who tend to go at both white ball formats.
Yeah.
And I think New Zealand have a case to make that they're good at all 3 formats. But England at the moment are not that good at T20s.
No.
Neither are India, but Pakistan are great at T20s and absolutely horrible at one-dayers.
Which is weird to me anyway. Like, they are really pants at one-dayers.
Yeah. And the other side, like Sri Lanka and Bangladesh, you could just say are inconsistent in all and Australia are inconsistent in all those formats. And probably the only other side you could say is good at all 3 formats is South Africa.
Yeah, but their South African team is surprisingly good at everything.
Yeah. They're definitely a very good side.
Yeah.
But this is my other concern is that New Zealand will basically have 3 months off after their last test against Bangladesh before they go to the World Cup. I mean, I'm sure they'll have warm-up games throughout
May. Yeah.
Get ready.
Up in the Northern Hemisphere as well.
We all know that doesn't necessarily help you too much.
No.
Do you think that's going to be a weakness going into the World Cup for New Zealand?
Yeah, as I say, it's weird that have that test at the end of the Bangladesh tour. You thought you maybe take a couple at the beginning and then play white ball through, then that can lead into whatever warm-up games they have over in the Northern Hemisphere leading into the World Cup, which is also
actually,
a bit
now that I'm thinking about it, there will be IPL on that.
Pretty much everybody. IPL. That explains it.
It's not really a disadvantage if everybody's going to be doing that apart.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe apart from teams like Afghanistan, who might be able to have some of their players not play, but even they have most of their good players playing IPL. So, I mean, IPL is also a very high level form, so that's probably going to help.
It's just, say, T20 as opposed to one day is.
That's the only thing.
Hopefully it won't. It will just make it a bit more entertaining.
Yeah.
And now we are going to look at making predictions. Sri Lanka series, what do you reckon in the test matches?
Test matches, I think I'm going to bet against the weather and predict 2-0 to New Zealand. I think there'll be enough cricket played over both test matches that New Zealand will be able to take the wins. I don't see Sri Lanka winning them.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and I agree New Zealand will have the better of it. I just have no faith in the Wellington weather to play ball. I think Christchurch will be a full test, or at least enough cricket to go ahead, because the Canterbury Plains tend to be a bit better this time of year. But Wellington just a coin toss, and I think New Zealand 1-0 in the test matches. One day, what do we think?
I think this will be pretty close. I think there was 3-1 days, so Bangalore will take one of them, so it'll be 2-1 to New Zealand.
I think, given that Sri Lanka played 7-1 days before the previous World Cup coming here, and then lost to us again in their first game again in the World Cup, so basically losing 8 games in a row to us, I just don't see us see Sri Lanka doing well in the one days, and they haven't been shown themselves to be a good one day side. I think we've shown New Zealand to be quite a good one day side, so I'm going to pick I'm going to pick New Zealand to go 3-0, sweep that series.
Yeah, I mean, that's fully possible. I see a couple of them being close. I think New Zealand will probably take one easily, and then it'll be a bit of a fight back by Sri Lanka. I mean, I said 2-1, but it'll probably be 2-0, then Sri Lanka wins the dead rubber more than anything.
Fair enough. And the T20, it's a one-off T20 at Eden Park. Quite literally a coin toss, because whoever wins the toss should bat second and win the game. Like, I think that's the script for winning at Eden Park.
Yeah, that's the script. It is. I think New Zealand will win probably either way, just because of a home crowd advantage. But you're right, it comes down to the toss. Win the toss, win the match.
I mean, to be fair, Eden Park does have a lot of ties, and you and I have seen our fair share at Eden Park. But
I think three of them,
As Australia showed when New Zealand scored 240 in the T20 in Auckland this year, that they chased it down quite easily. And I don't think we were surprised that they could chase it down. If you don't get all out for a ridiculously low score, which is also possible at Eden Park, tend to be second, win second.
Exactly. But I still see New Zealand doing it. Just that home crowd advantage is just going to give them that little bit extra if it gets tight.
So what you're saying is you think Kane Williamson will win the toss?
Well,
advantage helping him there.
Helping them there. I think that that even if they have to then bowl second, they'll still get there.
Fair enough.
It'll just be a lot tighter. Like if they bat second, it'll be a lot more New Zealand sided.
Yeah. Following on from that, I think New Zealand have a real, real test when they play against India. And against India, they've got basically a white ball tour, 5 one-days followed by 3 T20s. I am picking that even though India are definitely a very good side, New Zealand are very good in our home conditions. I expect the matches to be close. I expect the series to be close. I'm picking a 3-2 for New Zealand in that series.
Yeah, I'm a bit more pessimistic about it. I think it's going to be close, 2-2 India as opposed to 3-2 to New Zealand.
Fair enough. And you're picking
but all those games are going to be close.
Yeah, I think that they'll be close.
Yeah, I think the T20 series will probably go the other way around, and New Zealand will take that perhaps 2-1, just because it's a bit more randomness of it.
We've all said that Virat Kohli's toss luck is atrocious, and he loses.
Yeah, exactly.
And the toss is, if anything, way more important in T20s than it is in test matches. But all that aside, yeah. I see New Zealand, especially because of our batting order being just so good in New Zealand conditions, we're able to chase down big totals. I think, that's a... I don't see a 3-0 there. I think maybe a 2-1. Following on from that, we have Bangladesh in New Zealand, a team that I think Bangladesh have traditionally done poorly against New Zealand in New Zealand, and conversely, New Zealand have done poorly against Bangladesh in Bangladesh. Bangladesh are up against it, but I have some hope that maybe they can win one of the one dares, and that might be their only win this tour. I'm picking maybe a 2-1 in the one dares and a 3-0 sweep for New Zealand, unless the weather is atrocious for some reason. But yeah, I think everyone predicts a pretty nice and warm summer. New Zealand easily winning all three matches there, I think.
Yeah, I actually don't see Bangladesh picking any win here. I think there'll be a 3-0 sweep in the one days, and the weather's going to be too kind in New Zealand, and there'll be a 3-0 sweep in the tests as well. I think that's how that will go. It will be, a nice end for New Zealand, where they just get to win everything for a while.
Cool. Well,
hopefully we'll give them a bit of confidence getting towards the World Cup.
Exactly. And because we've got IPL between then and the World Cup, everybody's on the same boat, playing a lot of T20s and then getting into the World Cup in England. And that is something for another podcast. Before we go, what do you want to see when New Zealand starts its official home summer?
I do like a discussion we were having earlier where it would be good to see New Zealand lose the toss and be asked to bowl first, just to see how good they are with the odds stacked against them.
Yeah.
And yes, with having to chase in the final innings. Yeah. But to be fair, I actually prefer just to see New Zealand win. So it'd be nice to see Kane win the toss, choose the bat. You know, nice conditions. The New Zealand batters, they get out there. Ravel finally, they get a good score. Like them to show his promise again and back himself back into a bit of form. To see
that's what I would personally like to say as well. I'd like to see our openers get some runs, get some confidence. I think they are the two best openers to play the long-form game for New Zealand. And because we've got the Test Championship starting next season, I think our middle order is pretty good, pretty well cemented in their spots. And once Santner comes back, we'll have a very strong middle order.
Yeah, well, at the moment, there's a good case not to even be picking Santner. I mean, our spinner is now very competitive.
I think I would pick Santner as the all-rounder in the all-rounder slot.
I was just thinking Corey Anderson back from injury not too far off. I don't know if he's this year in the Plunkett Shield.
Yeah.
But I think De Grondholm is perhaps looking a little bit more suspect than he was last season. He hasn't really pushed on and shown that ability to be a good all-round batsman and bowler at a test level. I mean, he's still good, and he's still pushing for that place. But I think between the three of those, if Corey Anderson is...
I like picking Santner in the test matches as the all-rounder, because I feel like that gives New Zealand the option of picking a frontline spinner purely as a wicket-taking spinner. Like, that's what line spinner's job is. And if they want to, they can pick either their fourth bowler to be either a pace bowler or another spinner, depending on what conditions they face. And Satner's show, and because he's going to bat with people like Watling, and now even Tim Southee's shown a bit of, like, character when it comes to batting at the tail and keeping up a bit of a rear guard. So I like Satner in that lower order for that reason, that he helps the rear guard stay on and can support players like Watling.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he was showing at the end of last season before he got injured, which was with Satner was really just living up to his potential, because he had sort of misfired before that in test matches. You knew that he was a decent enough batter, but he never really managed to show it in a test match that matters.
If we're looking at an all-rounder slot for a spinner, there's a Todd Astle to think about.
Yeah. Picking as a spinner picking a spinner, there is a multitude of options, as we said. So,
yeah,
I do like how you say, like, pick Sackler and then pick your four bowlers, and you can put a frontline spinner around that, and then Sackler's just your backup spinner. So you've got two spinners inside at any time, but he's just a a batting all-rounder.
Yeah.
But then you have to make sure his, whether his batting is actually living up to being a batting all-rounder.
I think because our middle order is the strength of our batting lineup with Kane, Roscoe, and now Henry Nicholls, and BJ Watling, basically very, very consistent middle order. And if our openers are able to do it, this is the thing. Sattner can actually up the tempo and bat aggressively if needed, but he's also able to, I think, bat defensively if the team get in trouble and need the lower order to, like, put on 100 runs or so to bring us back into the game. Yeah.
Oh, he's definitely got that potential. I mean, at the moment, Roscoe seems a bit out of sorts. Well, he's a bit out of sorts in the Pakistan series.
So he Watling was the only player to score runs in that second test, which we lost.
Yeah, apart from that. But that's, I mean, he wasn't consistent, I should say.
Yeah.
I mean, the other two tests, I think he got a lot of runs in the first test. I mean, the second test, he was looking to be a bit more aggressive. And it sort of worked, and then didn't. As being aggressive, the quality spin tends to happen. And then, third test also tried that and sort of worked, but once again, it just didn't stay.
That's a difficult position.
Hopefully, in any condition,
like, who can you pick ahead of Roscoe? Because
I
think all the problems that Roscoe has, Martin Guptill has even more of.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have Roscoe's talent.
No, Roscoe, you know, he stays there.
Yeah.
I mean, Henry Nicholls is putting on performances at just the right time, but he's also a little bit inconsistent as well, doesn't he?
He's still starting out his career as a...
Yeah, I know. There's a lot going for him over Gup. That's the, to me, is the Guptill-Nicholls is the comparison you need to be making.
Yeah.
And I don't think Nicholls has done bad enough that you say, well, we're going to put Guptill.
I like that Nicholls plays well against spin, because he's a New Zealand batsman, so you know he's good against swing bowling and he's good against pace bowling. And the fact that he can play against spin makes him a better option, especially away from home. So
yeah, exactly.
Like, that is what tips me over. Unfortunately for Guppy, the only position I think he can, you know, kind of argue his way back into the test side for is if he thinks he can replace one of the openers. And frankly, I don't see it.
No, I think at opener he's shown they tried Guptill there for a while, and it just showed that whilst he can sort of do it, he just doesn't. He just can't do it at test level. If he's going to do it, he has to somehow replace either Roscoe or Henry Nicholls. And I say at the moment, I don't see that happening. So.
And yeah, nobody's replacing Kane.
Yeah, I know. Kane gets that's first name on the sheet. Where do you want to bat, Kane? Urine.
Yeah.
But I actually think, like, in terms of batting, Watling's next on that list, because he's reasonably consistent and, you know, he supports that lower order quite well.
Yeah, I like Watling where he's at. I don't want to promote him up the order purely because I think, because he's wicket-keeping, like,
on
where he is and... He can bat with someone lower down the order, whether it's Sattner, whether it's DeGrondholm, whether it's Corey. But I personally like Sattner as the all-rounder, or even Todd Astell as the all-rounder, because I like our all-rounder.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like our all-rounder to be a spin bowler so that we go into every game with two good spinning options.
Yeah. I mean, I do like that concept. I feel a fully fit Corey Anderson on form is a better option than a fully fit on form Sattner. And there's not a lot of difference in that. And it really just comes down to balance on the side, whether, as you say, and maybe a second spinner adds that extra balance.
True. Anyways, we will hopefully catch you next time. And it's been great talking cricket, and we hope to do this throughout the summer, actually, hopefully next time next month. And so we'll catch you then.
Okay, catch you next time.